your Son Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice. As we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, the day you rose from the grave and defeated all the works of darkness to bring freedom to each and every man, women, and children all around the world. Celebrate this day of the risen Lord. And Father, I thank you that this is the day you've made. We will rejoice and be glad in it as we celebrate and stand and worship together and declare together this awesome day where sin was defeated, sickness and disease was defeated, and eternity was made available for all who believe. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, and we all said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Yeah, you can give the Lord a hand clap. It's all right. Amen. Amen. God is good. Well, welcome, church. Welcome, family. Resurrection Sunday. There's no better place to be than in the house of God. Amen. There's no better place to be than worshiping God. You could feel the presence of God as you worship God. Amen. And today is no different than any other day. I know some say it's Holy Week. Some say this. Yes, it's holy. But the Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. So every day is a holy day. Every day is a time to stand with the Lord and believe on what His promises are for us. Amen? Amen. As I was preparing the message, and we prepare the offering before we get into the message, generosity just like flooded my spirit, flooded my soul. And I was just thinking, Lord, what do you have? And he took me to Deuteronomy 15. And you can turn there as you prepare for the offering this morning on Resurrection Sunday. You know, I could talk about the sacrifice. I could talk about those things. And it just intrigues me that many say, well, I don't know what to preach about. I struggle with exactly what the Lord wants me to preach, meaning there's so much. Everything in Scripture is tied around this day. Literally, the whole Bible is tied around the resurrection, the risen Lord and what He did. But today, He spoke to me about generosity. God's generosity literally brought the blessing of Jesus Christ here on the earth. His love and generosity sent Jesus the final sacrifice for you and I. In all humanity. And that's what we celebrate today. But Deuteronomy 15:10, it's literally talking about generosity to the poor. And for you that have accepted Jesus and have been made free from sin, you once were poor, bound up in sin, and Jesus' generosity came and gave you what you had need of. So now you're not poor no more. You're free in Jesus' name. So I'm saying this because this is talking about giving literally financially to the poor. Being generous to those that are in need. And in verse 10 it says, you shall surely give to him and your heart shall not be grieved when you give to him, because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all which you put your hand to. So, generosity is the key, the avenue in which the blessing of the Lord can come upon everything you put your hand to. So when you put your hand in God's hand, and you give to those that are in need, and you give where the Lord leads you to give, literally, you are linking up with the God of heaven that's going to put His hand upon you and all that you put your hand to. Do you see? Instead of trying to do it ourselves, let's give to God and allow God to help us do everything that He wants us to do. See the difference? This is what generosity does. Generosity literally unlocks heaven and the power of God for His blessing to be on everything you partake of. I think the Amplified says, everything that you partake of, God will bless you in, because you first were generous to those that were in need. So when we look beyond ourselves and we see the hurt or we see the need in people and you think, well, why should I give to the church? Why don't I just give to the poor person down the street? Yeah, you can do that as a believer. You are the church doing that. But the church also gives out of the blessing of God upon us to those around us. We did that Easter outreach. We have a lot of meat in the freezer to give away to people. We have things to give. Why do we have things to give? It's not one person. It's the church being generous to give, knowing that we're going to sow in whatever we put our hand to. The most blessed people on earth should be the church. Why? Because God's hand is upon them. And it promises his blessing will be upon what you put your hand to. Amen. But what has to happen first? Generosity. We have to see and have a heart for others above ourselves. And that is the key that unlocks God, because God has a heart for others. That's why Jesus came. And that's why Jesus paid the price. Why? Because he had a heart and a love for those that were lost, and he lost his life to give us ours. You see the generosity. You see the love that was poured out by Jesus Christ, our example. And what that does is it allows us to go and to be free in what he did for us and allow us to share that freedom with others. Generosity in the love of God will cause you to not only give to others, but it will cause God to bless you in what you put your hand to. Another scripture I'd share is Luke 6:31, and you've heard this phrase before: what you make happen for others, God will make happen for you. And it's based off of this scripture: just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them. So when you sow and you're generous to someone that's in need or someone that is hurting or some elderly person or a widow or whatever it may be that comes across your path, when you're generous, it allows God to sow that generosity back into you. God will literally take people that you may not even know to come and be generous and help you. And you're like, well, how did they find out about me? How did this person find out about new freedom and sow into new freedom, believing because we're generous to other people? See, when we go out and we do, it aligns heaven to do what we have need of for what God wants us to do, because we're doing what he wants us to do. You see how this operates? It's not, I'm just going to sit back and hope God does something for me. No, we put our hand to something and we bless people. God's hand blesses us, just like that. So what you want to happen, what you do for others, God will make happen for you. So what are you believing for? You're believing for things in your life. Go and do for someone else and watch what the Lord will do for you. All of a sudden, there'll be people coming your way wanting to help you do what it is that you have need of. But you put it first in the Master's hands and watch what he does. Ephesians 6:8 says this: whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether slave or free. So it has nothing to do with where you came from or where you're going, what race or anything. God is no respecter of person at all. So when we give, when we do for others, when we sow into others, when you sow into other people, God says, I see that you have a heart for other people. You actually have the same heart I do, because you have a heart for others above yourself. Amen? And this morning, I want you to just ask the Lord what he would have you to give. What is in your spirit? What is God speaking to you to have a generous heart to give to the Lord? To say, I'm going to sow this seed in faith with a pure heart, not grudgingly, not out of necessity, the Bible says, but cheerfully. I give because the Word of God says that what I make happen for others, God will make happen for me. So it allows you to not only put your faith in God, but it also helps you to see that God is going to put his faith in you, and he trusts in you, because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also, the Bible says. So when you sow this morning, I want you to sow in faith, believing God, because when you're believing for something for yourself, the mark of a believer is to say, you know what, I'm going to sow, and I'm going to believe God that what I have need of is going to be taken care of, because I am putting my trust in the Lord. So if you're ready to put your trust in the Lord, amen, I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward. Amen. If you're listening online, amen, you can sow into good ground. What are you believing for? This sowing allows you, giving allows you to put your faith into something. And if you're wondering, what do I need to put my faith into? This is the answer that you need to ask yourself. What am I really believing for? That's what I want to sow into. Amen. So if you're believing for lives change, if you're believing for marriages to be transformed, if you're believing for relationships, if you're believing for a job change, financial increase, whatever you're believing for, when you put it in God's hand, watch what the master will do. Amen. Ushers, go ahead and serve the people. Amen. There's a quiet bunch here this morning. God's generosity brought Jesus to earth. When you give into someone else's need, the Lord pours into your needs. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for those online. I just want to thank you, welcome you during this Resurrection Sunday. Hallelujah. God's got some great things for His church this morning. Oh, the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Thank you, fellas. Hallelujah. So what we're going to do is we're going to believe God together. With all those watching online as well, we're going to attach our faith together. Just as Jesus prayed over the loaves and the fish. Miracles. There's miracles right here in these baskets. Why? Because God is a God of miracles. And when you sow into that, you reap miracles. So, Father, I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Every seed sown here this morning, Father God, I thank you for supernatural increase. I thank you for blessing whatever they put their hand to, Lord God, that you lead them to do. Lord, I thank you for an overflow. I thank you for overflow in those areas, Father God. I thank you for a peace that passes all understanding. As you speak to your people, Lord, even now, some of you are making some big decisions in the near future. What you sow into is what you're going to harvest. Lord, I thank you. Believing big, there's faith being released now in Jesus' name. He's going to resurrect some things. Glory be to God. We thank you in advance, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do you know what the word resurrection really means? It means to stand up again. That means something had to already be standing for it to have to stand up again. Resurrection doesn't mean creation. Resurrection means to stand again. So something had to be lost, or something had to fall, or be laid down, or be released, or break, or give up on, and then it had to be stand up again. So the word resurrection really means to stand up again, or to rise up to the original state that it should be. So when you resurrect a house, you may clean it up, you may restore it to its original state. That's what resurrect means. So there was a state, there was a place God created you to be that you may have missed, you may have fallen, sin may have come in, this world may have led you astray, but God has a place in His divine will and in His hand and in His kingdom that He wants you to stand in. Amen. And He created you to stand there. And the way to get there is through Jesus Christ. There's no other way to be resurrected from sin, from this world, except through the risen Lord. And that's what we're celebrating today. Today's the greatest day in history. The greatest day. This day changed humanity forever. Forever humanity was marked by this day. I know people love Christmas, the birth of Christ, when we celebrate the birth of Christ. But the resurrection, for me personally, is the greatest day. Because that's the day the devil got defeated. That's the day sin got whipped. Sickness and disease got put under my feet. That is the day that eternity in heaven was made available for man. It wasn't at the birth that eternity in heaven was made available. It's the resurrection. When all of hell got defeated on this day. Woo! Glory. I feel like Pastor Joe up here, where it's like, you want to say something and you can't get it out. Amen. This is the greatest day in history, and the enemy can do nothing about it. Can't do anything about it. He's defeated. He was made powerless this day when Jesus rose from the grave, when the stone was rolled away. Death could no longer hold Jesus and could no longer hold any single person that receives Jesus. That's what marks this day so wonderful. That's what makes heaven and God and Christianity so powerful, because it's the only belief system that serves a risen Lord. No other religious belief system has a risen Lord. They're all dead. They're all dead. Every single one of them, either a statue, they try to make it some other animal, they make it some other star, something out there. But Jesus Christ is the risen Lord, documented, historic. Nothing has ever, ever come against. It's come against, but it's never defined what the Bible says. The Bible is true from front to back, and it's never been disproven in 6,000 years. Never been disproven. It's fact. It's historical fact. There's no other religion that can do that. There's a starting and a stopping point for every other religion, but not the kingdom of God. When creation started, we're still in Acts. We're still in the church age. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is still working today. The kingdom of heaven is still being populated today. This very day, many, many lives will come into the kingdom of God and receive the risen Lord. Hallelujah. Death could not hold Jesus Christ. Death, where is thy sting? There's no fear in death because Jesus rose from the grave. So that same power, that same resurrection that brought Jesus back to his original state, because he came and took on all of our sin and it put him right in the grave, put him right on the cross first, then in the grave. And he's like, you know what? I'll take all the world on. All the sin of the world from past, present, and future. Every sin I'll take on my body. And I'll go right to the grave because my Father sent me and I'm about my Father's business. And he did that. He took it all on. He took death straight on and was in the grave for 3 nights, rose today, defeating death, hell, and the grave for you. For you. Hallelujah. I get excited up here and I don't even get to my sermon. Amen. Amen. Resurrection Sunday. Once I say resurrection, it just fires me up. It's like the spark that lights the fire. When you say resurrection, it's positive. It's always a positive thought when you say resurrection. It's not death. It's not defeat. It's not loss. It's increase. It's blessing. It's multiplication. It's, smile on my face. It's resurrection day. Amen. Whatever was dead is now alive. Whatever was lost is now found. Whatever was in the dark is now in the light. Amen. When you see and know what Jesus did for you, it changes your life forever. Not only this life, but, oh death, where is your sting? I have no fear of dying anymore because I know I have heaven. Amen. I'm not only going from this life, I'm actually, the church is going to get a glorified body. So even this filthy, ugly looking tabernacle tent that I'm dwelling in right now, it's going to be done away with and I'm going to have a glorious resurrected body. When you think of a resurrected body, that's a body that has no sin in it, that has no fear in it, has no lack in it. Heaven is a wonderful place. The streets are gold. It's glorious. There's no weakness. There's no whining. There's no anxiousness. There's no fear. There's nothing. It's nothing like this world. Nothing like this world. But the resurrected, the believer that accepts Jesus Christ and becomes a believer, they can partake of the life of heaven here on the earth. That's what makes the resurrection so powerful. Because when you receive the risen Lord, you receive the same power that raised him from the dead is implanted in you. And comes alive on the inside of you. The same power, the Bible said, that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. You say, well, I have a mortal body. Yes, we have a mortal body, but we're going to receive a glorified body because that spirit lives on forever. It cannot die. That seed in you that Jesus has placed in you when you receive him is incorruptible. It cannot be destroyed. It's life-giving and it's eternal. Every believer has the life of God in them that the enemy can't take, sin and sickness can't take. It's alive forever, implanted in you. You are sealed with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. And it all takes place because of what Jesus accomplished this morning. When the sun came up, the Son of God was risen. This day. You say, this is what marks it because it's a historic day that literally happened on this day. The first day of the week in the morning, they came to the tomb and he wasn't there. The physical stone that man could not move, that was literally guarded by the best soldiers that money could buy. The best soldier. I'm talking about the elite. Any of you guys in the service, there's elite service members. There's and I'm not going to name names because it may offend the other service members. But you know, there is elite ones that are trained specifically for the most harshest situations. And that's all man could do. That's all the rulership could do, is put the best of the best of humanity to guard the tomb. But how many of you know humanity has no power over the supernatural God? And when God decided today's the day that the stone is rolled away, man isn't going to stop it. And for each and every one of you, and you listening online, when you make the day that the stone of sin, hell, and sickness can be removed out of your life, when you make that decision, there's nothing, no enemy in hell that can stop you from the stone of this world being rolled away in your life. And you say, I am free. From this day forward, I don't have to live in sin anymore in my life. I don't have to live in sickness anymore in my life. I have been made free in the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter how many rocks were placed in front of my life. They're all rolled away in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. When you grab a hold of that truth, you become resurrected. You take on a new life that the enemy cannot stop. But you have to make the decision to get your stone out of the way. And the way you do it is to ask Jesus in. And Jesus will come down and roll your stone away and you can come up out of the grave. Hey, woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to talk about the disciples just for a little bit because we have a lot of disciples today. Amen. In our presence here. Hallelujah. But there's something, the title of my message is From Seen to Unseen. And you think, wow, that's not real exciting message. When you understand what I'm going to talk about, you're going to realize something. That the disciples were walking in the seen realm. They were living a life walking with Jesus. Everything they had need of, they just asked for. Jesus, answer this question. Jesus, what does this mean? And Jesus was literally walking with them, talking with them, encouraging them, and teaching them the ways of God. They could see him. It was like my son and I just walking together, talking, asking questions. What does this mean, Dad? Well, this is what this means. And that's how Jesus was ministering, one-on-one with them. But when we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that changed everything because the disciples did not have what they used to have. It shifted the seen realm of walking with Jesus to the unseen realm of believing in Jesus. And that's when the church was birthed. Jesus died and went to heaven. Amen? He died and he left them. And it all shifted. Can you imagine walking and talking and being total comfort with somebody, learning from the master, and all of a sudden the master's like, I must go away. For if I do not go away, the Holy Spirit cannot come. There was a great transition of seeing life as it was. I want to ask you even today. Have you ever been in a place where you were getting the answers you need? You were walking, things seem really good. It's like you had the world in your hands. Your job was going well. Your family was going well. Your marriage was going well. And what you saw was totally good. But then all of a sudden, everything shifted. Each one of us have had scenarios in our life where we were in the seen realm, where we were living our lives the best we could. We were answering questions. We went to college. We were doing what we were supposed to be doing. And then all of a sudden, things shifted. To the point where we could not hold on to what was before us. We were naturally making things happen. And we were comfortable in that place. But then you get to a place where it's out of your control. The disciples had the Messiah with them. But all of a sudden, God, in the appointed time, it had to be. Jesus had to go to the cross and he had to pay the price. So they went from a place of knowing, seeing, and understanding to a place of having to believe God, believe in Jesus, and walk without him next to them. And that was significant. That was so difficult. Can you only imagine living a life with the master next to you and all of a sudden now he's not there anymore and you have to live without him? But the greatest thing is, it was actually a benefit to not see him and have him next to you. And you think to yourself, how can that be? Because he's literally closer now than what he was when he lived here on the earth. Because now, by the Spirit, he lives in you. He's not next to you. He lives in you. So it went from seeing Jesus as a disciple to Jesus living in you as a disciple. And that's where we live today. So what was a singular man walking the earth has now become his Spirit living on the inside of us, where we believe in him and we're led by his Spirit in everything we do. See the difference here. See the remarkable change of pace that had to take place. And I want you to understand something. That's how we operate as a believer now, is the unseen realm, not the seen realm. We're not waiting to see what happens with our natural eyes. We believe in our hearts what God says about us with our spiritual eyes. By faith we live. By faith we walk. By faith we receive. So that's the church now. That's what the resurrection did. It literally brought Jesus closer than what the disciples had him. The Spirit of God could not live in man till Jesus left. How remarkable is this truth? I want you to go to Luke 23. And I want you to see. Luke 23, verse 35. This is right when Jesus was on the cross. And it says in verse 25, "And the people stood looking on, but even the rulers with them sneered, saying, 'He saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ, the chosen God.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, 'If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself.' And an inscription also was written over him in letters in Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, 'This is the King of the Jews.' Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, 'If you are the Christ, save yourself and us.' But the others answering rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward, our due deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said to Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" Notice both robbers, both criminals. One based his decision on the seen realm. The other based his decision on the unseen realm. The one criminal said, "If you are God, save yourself and us. Get me off of this cross if you're the Son of God." But the other one says, "I fear you, Lord. Forgive me." So he was looking based off of who God really was, not based off of the natural realm. And so often, we as believers can look at things and want them a certain way. Oh, God, do this, do this, do this. If you're God, you're going to do this. If you're a loving God, you'll do this, this, and this. and we want to see things happen in our natural eyes. But think about when the disciples saw their Messiah, saw their king being crucified. And they were looking upon the cross. They were looking at what was taking place. In the seen realm, wondering, what in the world? We're losing. We're going to lose. How can this happen? The greatest, the sinless man is dying on the cross. The one whom we follow is dying. I'm sharing this because I want you to see, church, the resurrection. When you see the resurrection for what it is, you do not really mind too much about the natural. It doesn't affect you because the resurrection is what changed you and what carries you and what you look upon. When you look ahead in your life, when you look through the eyes of the resurrection, you see your life differently. When you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, heaven became available to you. You saw differently. You saw with your spiritual eyes, not just what was right before you. The disciples could only see what was right before them when Jesus walked with them. And they saw miracles. They saw signs and wonders. They saw great feats. They saw multitudes follow Jesus. And then everyone that was following Jesus saw him dying on the cross, or heard about him dying on the cross, and like, what is going on here? The greatest thing that we had is now being killed. It looked like loss. But if they could see what was really taking place, it was the greatest time in history for victory to come about, where death was defeated. Death was defeated, sin was defeated, and heaven was made available by what Jesus did. But if you only look at your life based off of what you see, you can't see the risen Lord. You can't see heaven available to you. You can't see the goodness of what God has for you in this life that we live now if you're so focused on the natural that's going on around you. If you're looking so directly at what the news is saying and what the world is saying, it'll discourage you to no end. You'll be like, what is taking place? What's happening? The church is losing ground. No, the church is being refined and we're gaining ground. But it's what you're looking at that dictates what you perceive things as. Let us stop looking at the natural. And let us look into the supernatural. Let us look into heaven and what God's doing, not what this world is doing. Because the resurrection has given us a greater view. It's given us a view of heaven. It's given us a view of our neighbor and even a view of our enemy, where we can love our enemy. Because if you just look in the natural, your enemy's going to be your enemy. And your guilt and your offense and your anger is going to be what drives you. But if you look past it through the unseen realm, through the cross, through the resurrection, you can look at people differently. Compassion can flow. Generosity can flow. Love can flow. Peace can flow through your life. Why? Because you see Jesus sow peace into you so you can sow peace into others. Do you see how this works? God, when God comes in, your life changes and you become like God. The resurrection becomes your resurrection. You're not who you used to be. You see yourself differently. Isn't that right, brother? You see yourself differently because you see yourself the way God sees you, not the way man sees you. Because man is looking just in the natural. Just seeing whatever is happening. So if it's a good day, oh, it's a good day. If it's a bad day, life is horrible. That's how the world operates. You can be in a relationship, and if everything is in that relationship, if that relationship breaks, your life breaks. And you're like, this life sucks because everything was put into that. Sorry for the terminology that came out before I could stop it. Things stink. If you put everything into that basket, and then that basket is gone. If you put your whole life into your house or your vehicle or your job, and then all of a sudden the bridge breaks and your job's done from one day to the next, no more job. What do you do if your life is your job? That's all you see. Your life stinks after that because everything you had is no longer. But with God in the resurrection, you never have to worry about life stinking. Because Jesus didn't even have time to stink. He rose. He got out of that grave. Amen. Life can't stink with God. There's no chance for life to stink with God. Because God is a living God that's eternal. And your life can never smell bad, feel bad, or look bad because your eyes aren't on your life. They're on heaven. We're not of this world. We're in it, but we're not of it. So we're not looking at the world for our sustenance. We're not looking around us to get all the tax money back or government benefits here or there where they have no money at all. That's digital currency. They can't back it up with anything. Don't put everything in what you see. It's false. It's fake. It's a facade. Even the Bible says the enemy comes as an angel of light. So he's going to throw things your way that look good. But when you see through the eyes of God, you can see what's really good. Because God is in it. If you're looking to date somebody or you're looking for a relationship, find God in this situation. If God's not there, don't stay. That's my little counsel. Make God be what you're looking for. Look for God. Live for God. God will bring the right person for you. Don't live off of your finances. Live for God. Sow into the kingdom and watch what God can do financially for you. Every single area. If emotions seem to rule you at times, put that on the Lord and let Him settle you and give you peace. Look, when I was younger, I was believing, even though I didn't even know the Lord, I was believing for a beautiful wife. That's just, I wanted a beautiful wife, naturally speaking. But the Lord led me to exactly what I desired. My wife's not even here. She's in the back. But what I desired, because I put my eyes on Him instead of on what I was trying to do. So you can see, if you put your effort in God, your focus on God, God will give you the desires of your heart. God will give you way beyond what you can even imagine, because when God comes, it makes everything better. It makes everything better. What? Oh, Jesus. Hopefully you found Luke. I've read Luke, I believe. Yes. Amen. But notice here, they were mocking Jesus. Mocking Him, scourging Him, telling Him all kinds of things. Save yourself if you're a king. He could not save Himself because He had to fulfill what God had Him doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus, by all means, Jesus did not want to go to the cross. I don't know anybody that wants to die. I don't know anybody that wants to go to a grave. When I do chaplain at the hospital, 99.9% of the people I talk to, what do you want prayer for? To get out of here and feel better. That's simple. That's a desire that people have. But with Jesus here, He had to go through what He went through so He could fulfill what God had Him to fulfill. If Jesus said, "This is too rough, I'm getting down off of this cross, I'm going to save myself," every single one of us would be lost. And heaven would have never been made available. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Jesus had to do this. The resurrection had to happen so we could partake of the resurrection. If there is no resurrection, there is no Christianity. There is no heaven to gain. There is no life eternal in heaven without the resurrection. So if you call yourself a church, and I'm speaking out there, not here, and you don't believe in the resurrection, you're not a church. You're not a church of the living God. Everything revolves around Jesus Christ and the resurrection. Without it, there's no heaven. There's no life eternal. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Through the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, Jesus was teaching and showing mankind to believe in the unseen. So everything Jesus was preparing with His disciples, leading and guiding them, showing them the ways of eternity, showing them the ways of life, He was preparing them for His departure and for them to live without Him naturally. It went from seen to unseen. And God, everything Jesus did and what we read about in Scripture, we must receive by faith, not by sight. We have to receive it by faith because Jesus isn't literally with us. We must trust in the supernatural. And we know the story, some of you may know, John 20:29, good old Thomas, which was a disciple of Jesus, and some of you may know him by doubting Thomas, because Thomas only wanted to see things naturally to believe. He wanted to see the nails in his hands. He wanted to see the piercing in his side to believe. John 20:29, Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Guess what, church? Each and every one of you that is a believer is blessed because you see Jesus through the eyes of faith. You believed without naturally seeing him. Your faith was stronger than Thomas that walked with Jesus. Glory to God. That's a compliment. That should get you excited. You are blessed because you believed in Jesus without him having to show up at your doorstep physically. Thomas was struggling. Even though he walked with Jesus, he wanted to see it take place. And Jesus said, it is more blessed to believe without seeing. So I want to encourage you, church, you are in a place of blessing because you're believing in Jesus in whom you have not seen. And he's come, and he's touching people's lives, even today. Even today. Hallelujah. This statement came to me, and if you have a pencil and paper, you can write it down. You limit God's power and ability by only wanting to see naturally. I'll say it again. We limit God's power and ability by only wanting to see naturally. So when we look upon things naturally, physically, we limit the power and authority and miracle-working ability of God because we're only believing in what we see naturally. Short-sightedness limits God's power from flowing in your life. So when you pray, if you're only praying for what you have need of physically, you're limiting the power of God and the blessing of God from abundantly pouring out in your life. So when you pray, pray big prayers. Pray faith-filled prayers. Pray prayers where God has to move, not where you can make it happen. That's speaking to quite a few people in the house right now. When I said that, I felt it go out, and I feel people like, yeah, that's me. There's a couple that's me's out there right here. That didn't make sense. What I'm saying is, when I said that, it released, the anointing released, and faith grabbed a hold of that statement. Pray big prayers. Believe beyond what you can physically do in your own power. If you can physically see it and you can physically do it, there's no faith there at all. Faith is unseen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if you can see it, it's not faith at all. Thomas' faith isn't faith. He had to see it to believe it. That's not faith at all. That would be like saying, I believe that Rick is here today at church. I see Rick. He's at church today. There's no faith operating there. Okay? That's what I'm saying. That's how Thomas was operating. This was a disciple of Jesus. Not able to believe that Jesus rose from the grave, even though he walked with him. Jesus warned his disciples 3 times that he had to leave, that he was leaving. Telling them, explaining to them, I have to go. This is what's going to happen. This is how it's going to be. And they still couldn't get it. That's encouraging to us as the church. You may miss it. You may be in a place where you're like, I have a hard time believing that. That's okay. Guess what? The Lord will help you. He sent his Holy Spirit to comfort you and to guide you and encourage you. In those times where you feel weak and you're like, I can't do it in my own power. I don't know if this is going to happen. Neither do I, but I know who does. And that's saying, yes, Lord, please show me. comfort me and guide me in this situation. I don't have the power and ability. I don't have the power and ability to get to heaven. I can jump, but my vertical is very limited. I'm not making heaven. I can't even touch the rim of a basketball. 10 feet. Nope, not without some spring, not without a ladder. So what I'm saying, that's funny. You can smile. It's okay. You're like, I don't want to laugh at that. That's terrible. He can't even jump. No, I can't jump. That's all right, though. I'm still going to get to heaven because I'm trusting in the one that's going to get me there. I believe that I can get there, not in my power, because I can't even get past the ceiling of this building. How am I going to get to heaven? But when you believe in Jesus Christ, what you can't do, He makes up the difference. So if you say, I can barely even get out of bed, or I can't get out of bed, guess what? The Lord can get you out of bed, and He can even get you to heaven. If He rolled the stone away and was dead in the ground, in the grave, death is the very strongest thing to break. If you can break death, everything else is easy. People say, well, I don't know about cancer. Cancer isn't death. Death is you're nothing left. There's nothing moving. There's nothing breathing. There's nothing beating. So if Jesus defeated death, He can help defeat everything in between. Everything in between is already dealt with. There's no sin too big. There's no sickness too big. It doesn't matter. COVID, none of that matters. COVID is not death. Cancer is not death. It can lead to death. It can take out your physical body, but it doesn't have to, because Jesus paid the price. And we declare healing upon your body. But if you're only looking at what the doctor's saying, what you feel and see, you're limiting the power of God. So if your prayer about sickness is like, if it be your will, Lord, God's will is for you to be healed. You can switch your prayer of faith and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, I am the healed of the Lord. I will rise up again, and my next report will be a good report in Jesus' name. That's a faith prayer. That's a prayer of resurrection power. Resurrection power is to stand up again. If sickness has got you down, Jesus is going to come and raise you up. Amen? And I'm not waiting for my resurrection and going to heaven to get my healing. If God placed me on this earth, He's got a job for me to do, and I can't do it sitting down, and I can't do it in a sick bed or in a hospital. I have to be resurrected to preach the gospel. Amen. So I believe in that, and you can too. That's the resurrection power that lives inside every believer. You say, well, you're a pastor, you're a minister, you're gifted, and you're called to do this. The resurrection, it didn't say anything about the resurrection of the pastor. It's every single person that receives Jesus Christ is a resurrected of the Lord, is a believer in Jesus Christ, and a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm a disciple, you're a disciple. You receive the same benefit of the resurrection. My sin wasn't different than anybody else's sin. Your neighbor's sin isn't different than your sin. The resurrection paid for all of them. Doesn't matter what somebody did. The murder criminal on the cross, it didn't matter. Jesus said, I'll see you again in paradise. You're coming with me, buddy. Amen. And that's what He's saying for you, buddy. He's coming for you, each and every one of you. God's Spirit is right here in this building, right here, right now, speaking to the hearts of people, encouraging you. You say, yeah, my prayer, I'm going to change my prayer life. I'm going to change what I'm believing for. I'm not happy where I am. I'm moving higher. I'm moving higher. Relationships that I'm in, they're either going to shift or they're going to separate, because they got to be ordained by God. That's speaking to people. Amen. That's resurrection. God wants the best for you, and He's going to bring good people around you. Amen. Do you believe that? Do you believe God can change a circumstance? Amen. Amen. He can change a report. God changed Jesus' report. Because the enemy, all the rulers of the land, they crucified Him. They crucified. And they really, if they knew, and I have the scripture reference, 1 Corinthians 2:8. It says this, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. if they could see past their stinking thinking, they would not have crucified the King of Glory. If the enemy knew what he was really doing, he would not have put Jesus on the cross. Why? Because Jesus was one man transforming a local area. But when Jesus died and was resurrected, that power went all around the world. And that's what made the church. And the church is still going strong all around the world because the enemy messed up and put Jesus on the cross. And God said, no, no, no. This is what's going to happen. He's going to pay for all this, and I'm going to bring freedom to every single person that receives my son. So it went from one person changing lives and multitudes following him to millions changing people's lives and following Jesus now. See, the enemy does not know what he's doing, and he has no hold on you either. And don't think, oh, it's over, it's done, nothing is going to get any better. Don't look at the situation. Look to God, and you'll have a good life in the midst of famine. I don't care what happens this year with the finances and politics. It doesn't matter, and I try to stay off of this as much as I can and behave myself. But people need to know, as children of God, as sheep, and being a shepherd, you need to know that it doesn't matter what goes on in the political realm, God is going to see the church through, in Jesus' name. Financially, you're going to be made well. You will be made well. You will have work. Your hand will be blessed, even if everybody else loses their job. And I'm not confessing that. But I'm saying it doesn't matter if it's a Republican or a Democrat. Doesn't matter if it's a donkey or an elephant. Really doesn't matter who's in office. They do not rule the church. They are not the king of the church. Jesus Christ is the king of the church. And every king is going to bow. Every name is going to bow to the name of Jesus. He's the true and living God. There's no other God except Him. No other. I mean, there's man-made gods. There's nations that have gods, and they people look at, like India, they have thousands of gods. Thousands of gods. But there's only one true and living God. And the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And you say, well, are you saying that the Republicans and the Democrats are out? No, the spirit of is upon them. I'm telling you right now, this world system is a sham. It's a mess. It's a literal mess. But God is a loving God. And He's going to turn some things around. And He's going to turn it around in you first. Each and every one of you. In the name of Jesus. He's turning it around. Resurrection is coming into your life right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. John 14, 16 through 21. I've kind of bounced around today. Amen. John 14, 16. This is talking about the promise of the helper. I quoted some of this verse earlier. We'll start in 15. I didn't give that to CJ. But start in 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. That word abide is stay and remain. So no matter where you go, the Holy Spirit, He's with you. He abides with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither what? Sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. This is a transition that the disciples were going to have to respond to, is to being led by the Spirit, not by Jesus in the flesh. This was a transition of the resurrection. This is the difference between a man standing beside you and the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. So, the church, believers, disciples, were never left alone. We're never left alone. But we cannot be moved based off of what we see. We have to be moved with what the Lord's telling us. That's the resurrection. That's what the Holy Spirit literally is a representation of Jesus Christ living on the inside of us. So when it says the works that I do, you shall do greater works, that's the Spirit of God living in the church to do the works of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus walked the earth, he was just an example that we're to walk like he walked and do what he did. And that's what the resurrection does. It brought the Holy Spirit to live on the inside of us to do what Jesus did. Lay hands on the sick, preach the gospel, tell them the kingdom of God is present, tell them to repent, tell them to receive the goodness of God, tell them to receive heaven as their eternal destiny. Everything Jesus did was in preparation for the Holy Spirit to come and live inside of each and every one of us. What a wonderful God we serve. We gave all of our junk to receive all of God's goodness. That's the transition of the church. That's what makes Christianity different than anything else. Every other religion, you got to pay. You got to commit sin to enter in. When you look at terrorists, what are they got to do all these things. Kill people to enter their so-called heaven. What kind of exchange is that? We give everything to God, and God gives us his everything to us. We give our sin, he gives us his Holy Spirit. What a transaction. What a life to live for God. What a mighty God we serve. There's nothing like this. I want you to know, church, when you leave here today, I want you to know the greatest gift ever given was Jesus Christ. And it can mark you and change your eternity forever. You're never the same again. When you leave, even if you're a believer and you've lived for Jesus, you know, majority of your life, today is a new day to live for Jesus Christ. God can do amazing things and miracles for you today. Just today and tomorrow and the next day. I'm believing God, the church is going to thrive this year. And every prophecy is about how bad things are going to happen, but it's not going to be against the church. The church is going to be good to go. This is a safe place, church. I'm not just talking about New Freedom. I'm talking about the blood-bought church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a safe place with everything that's going on around us that people see, that you see. Everything's turmoil. Everything's struggle. Everything's getting worse. Financial, political, you know, morals. Everything's going down. Everything's going down. What's going up? The church. The church is going up. I want you to know that there's a church, New Freedom, that's available in a safe place for anyone who desires it. But first you have to make that decision that Jesus Christ will be the center of your life. Will be the center of your life. When you make him first, he makes everything resurrected in your life. Whatever is not of him, he'll help remove it. And whatever that thing that you have need of or things that you have need of, God will bless them, God will transform them, and God will change your life from this day forward. In Jesus' name, it's available to you. There's a helper, the Spirit of truth that it was sent. I want to close on this verse, Philippians 3:10. It just came to me. Philippians 3:10. Thank you, Lord. Resurrection Sunday. Wow, what a wonderful day. Philippians 3. Verse 10. This is Paul speaking to the Philippians. He says, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. So to obtain the resurrection from the dead, to obtain eternal life, you have to know him. And Paul said, that I may know him. Who is him? Jesus. And the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Those three points. Know him, the power of his resurrection, and the suffering that he went through. When you see those and that they can be yours and you understand them, you receive the resurrection. You receive eternal life. You got to know him, church. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're listening online and you've never been given the opportunity to receive him, I'm going to give you the opportunity today. Everyone can bow their head and close their eyes. If the Holy Spirit is speaking, something's speaking to your heart here this morning. Man, I need to know him. I don't know if I know him. I've heard about him, but I haven't made a decision to know him. You can know about a lot of things, but you have to know him. You have to receive him. You have to experience him and talk to him. Ask him into your heart to know him. I know of a lot of people, but I don't know them. I don't know their traits. I don't know what they like. But I know them from a distance. Today is your day to know Jesus personally. To commit your life to him and ask him into your heart. Not just come to church on Easter Sunday or Christmas or here or there. But to know Jesus personally. And the power of his resurrection. To know that your sins have been paid for. To know that death has been defeated. And you don't have to go to a place called hell. Because Jesus came and was resurrected and paid the price for you. So you do not have to go there. You can make the decision today to ask Jesus Christ, the one that bled and died on the cross and paid the price for your sin. You can receive him today. Ask him into your heart and know him personally. He's a personal God. He's a loving God. Jesus came to live and die for you as an individual. If you're saying, well, I'm not good enough. None of us were. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. Every single human person, all mankind, has sinned and fallen short and needs a Savior. Even the Jew, God's chosen people, need to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Every person. But today marks Resurrection Day, the day Jesus rose from the grave, defeated all sin and sickness and disease, and prepared a life for you of fulfillment, a life of eternity in heaven. That's what happened this day. What greater day to say, I asked Jesus into my heart and I came to a place of knowing him the day that he rose from the grave for me. Oh, what a glorious day. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Those listening online, there's no distance in the spirit realm. All you need to do is ask him. Believe in your heart and confess with your mouth. Dear Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again for me. I receive you now into my heart and into my life as my Lord and as my Savior. My sin is washed away. I'm not the same as I once was. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. That's it. That's how this works. Jesus made himself available for each and every one of you. I want to thank those that are listening online. Thank you for joining us. We love you. Very, very much. We love you. Sorry you can't be with us in person. If you live close, make time. But if you're around the world, we love you. We're praying for you. A future and a hope. Thank you online. Bless you. For each person here today, on this glorious day that we celebrate the resurrected Lord, I do want to offer, because I do believe that people are hurting, even in the church. there's a struggle in people's lives. And the struggle could be a mile long, from decisions to hurt to church hurt. People do you wrong. Your employer not giving you the raise you deserve. All kinds of things. Loss of a loved one. I'm telling you, it's the power of God that can keep you going. That'll keep your perspective positive. Hallelujah. Are we still recording? Okay, good. Because I lost my aunt yesterday at 7:30 last night. And the only way to minister and to keep doing what God's called me to do is the power of God. Even in the midst of loss, God will give you the strength to overcome. Even in the midst of loss. You may have lost a loved one recently. You may have lost a family member, a friend, or a spouse. It's hard. It's hard in the natural. It's hard living based off of only what you see. It's to the point of impossible. And that's where some get to, where it's, you can't see any answers. You can't see in front of you. You can't see anything positive. Everything seems like it's failing or falling. Everything you touch just doesn't seem to cooperate or work the right way. You're doing everything you know to do. This is speaking to people. Because I've been here recently. You're doing everything you know to do, and it's not changing. And I've come to realize it's not about doing everything I know to do and that's it. It's about doing everything I know to do and putting faith in God to do the rest. Not trying to lift everything. Not trying to handle every situation and perfect everything that I put my hand to. Not knowing every answer to everybody's problem. My golly, I don't know all the answers, but I know who does. And the Lord's speaking to people, even this day, right now, right here, where you're going through the same situation, where it's like you're going around the mountain and it's not breaking. And you're like, I'm doing everything I know to do, and it's not changing. Well, guess what? Today it's going to change in Jesus' name. Today is your day that God's going to show up and reveal Himself to you in a mighty way and resurrect this area that you've been trying to carry yourself. Just like each and every one of us could never, do not have the power to get to heaven. We have to rely on someone greater than ourselves. There's nothing we can do to get rid of the sin in our lives. Sure, we can make decisions to change, but nothing paid the price for that sin. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So there's things in our lives physically we cannot change. We do not have the ability. We do not have the intellect. We do not have the know-how. America has some of the greatest doctors in the world, but they do not know everything. They don't have all the answers. Many times people are told, we've done all we can do. Go home and live out the rest of your life. That's not the best news to hear. There's better news. It's called good news. And His name is Jesus. And He wants to touch you today. And I'm just going to ask this one time. If you feel something on the inside of you, I want you to come forward and receive prayer. Because that's the Holy Spirit talking to you. That's the still small voice on the inside. And your faith saying, man, there's something more that I can receive. God has something more for me and He's speaking to me. I know it's here. I feel it on the inside of me. I'm starting to believe. My faith is attaching to things that before this service, I wasn't there. But the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. And he's doing the same to you. And I want you to answer the call if he's speaking to you. Answer the call. It's like your cell phone ringing and it's Jesus on the other line saying, I have your answer. I have your provision. Just pick up the phone. Answer the call and receive the word of the Lord. That's what he has for you this morning. That's what he has for you this day. If anyone here is feeling the Spirit prick them on the inside to believe God on this resurrection day for something to change in their life that they have been working through, they have been trying to get the victory over, and it's not happening, I want to invite you up here right now. I'm not going to beg. I'm not going to plead. You'll know. You know if it's you. You don't have to look around, see if anybody else is getting up. I'm already up here. I'm already at the altar, believing God for myself. I'm here. I'm asking the Lord, what? Show me, teach me, reveal to me what it is that you have for me. Thank you, Lord, that you have greater things for me. My vision is expanding. I'm not basing my circumstances off of what I see. I'm stretching my faith into the unseen realm and trusting God for a greater thing than what I've been doing. Oh, man. There's callings that are God's calling. God's calling in many ways. I'm not just talking about circumstances in your life or your family. I'm talking about ministry. God's doing a work on the inside of people's hearts that'll change their life from this day forward. This day forward, never the same. Never the same. You've run as hard as you can run, but you haven't made it to where you want to get. This is what I'm talking about. You've done all you've known to do. God's saying, I see you, son. I see you, daughter. I love you, and I'm going to reveal to you. Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus. It's not too late. Resurrection Sunday can be the day that's marked in your life for eternity. That's the day that I believed God, and the hand of the Lord came upon me, and my life was never the same again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.